Will you please turn to Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 44. Ezekiel chapter 44, we'll read from verse 15 to the end. Chapter 44, verse 15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall approach unto me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to present unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord Jehovah. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall approach unto my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall come to pass, when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them. When they minister in the gates of the inner court and towards the house, they shall have linen tires upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird on anything that causes sweat. And when they go forth into the outer court to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they ministered, and lay them in the holy cells. And they shall put on other garments, that they may not hallow the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall duly poll their heads. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. And they shall not take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away. But they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that is the widow of a priest. And they shall teach my people the difference between holy and profane, and cause them to discern between unclean and clean. And in controversy they shall stand to judge. They shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my solemnities. And they shall hallow my Sabbath, and they shall come at no dead person to become unclean, but for father and for mother, or for son, or for daughter, or for brother, or for sisters that have had no husband, they may become unclean. And after he is cleansed, they shall count unto him 7 days. And on the day that he goeth into the sanctuary, into the inner court, to minister in the sanctuary, he shall present his sin offering, saith the Lord Jehovah. And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance. And ye shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat the oblation and the sin offering and the trespass offering. And every devoted thing in Israel shall be theirs. And the first of all the first fruits of every kind, and every heave offering of every kind, and of all your heave offerings shall be for the priest. Ye shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest on your house. The priest shall not eat of anything that dieth of itself, or of that which is torn, whether of fowl or of beast. Will you please turn again to the book of Acts? Acts chapter 13. The book of Acts chapter 13. We'll read from the first verse through the third verse. Now there were in Antioch, in the assembly which was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrenian, and Manion, foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Separate me now Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, and having laid their hands on them, they let them go. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather together here in Thy presence, we realize that we are standing on holy ground. By Thy grace, we remove our shoes. We stand humbly before Thee as Thy bond slaves of love. And we do ask Thee, Lord, that Thou wilt speak to us through Thy word. Lord, Thou knowest our conditions. Thou knowest our hearts. Thou knowest that how we do desire that we may be a people that will really please Thee, that will really satisfy Thee, that we really do Thy will. Oh, our Father, we just come presenting ourselves afresh to Thee and ask Thee, Lord, that Thou will speak to each of us in such a way that we may be completely delivered from what we are now to what Thou wants us to be. We do commit this time into Thy hands, knowing that unless Thy Holy Spirit brings Thy word into our hearts, we will not be able to see or to hear or to be lifted up unto Thyself. So we just look to Thee for this morning. Oh, how we praise and thank Thee because Thou art merciful, Thou art gracious, and Thou art ever ready to bring us to Thy will. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. As we mentioned last night, that our burden for this time together is on this matter of spiritual ministry. Now, when we mention the word ministry, probably the first thought that comes to our mind is prophetic ministry or the ministry of the word. We remember the apostle says we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. But prophetic ministry or ministry of the word is not given to all believers. Even though all believers may prophesy, as we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that we may all be used of God to exhort one another, to encourage one another, and to comfort one another in that sense of prophesying. But to have a prophetic ministry or to be called to the ministry of the word is something that is given to some, but not to all. So this is not what we are sharing these days. Again, when we mention the word ministry, probably it will immediately come to your mind this matter of so-called ministry, enter into ministry. To be ordained into the ministry. Well, again, this is not what we are talking about. What we are talking about of that spiritual ministry is a ministry that every believer, every redeemed of the Lord is called into. So first of all, I would like to emphasize this point, that to every child of God, every redeemed of the Lord. All of us are called into a spiritual ministry. None of us who is redeemed of the Lord is an exception. Every one of us is called into a spiritual ministry. And after we have settled this, then I think we can go on and talk about this whole matter of spiritual ministry that we are all involved. Now, so far as this spiritual ministry is concerned, actually you find that there are two parts. One is ministry unto the Lord, and the other is ministry unto the house of the Lord. Or to put it in another way, you find in this ministry that we are all involved, there is a part which we will call it priestly ministry. And we know priestly ministry is mainly unto the Lord. And then you find there is another part that we call Levitical ministry, the ministry of the Levites. And it is mainly unto the people, the house of God. I think it is a very unfortunate thing that to God's people today, we are more familiar with ministry unto the house of God than ministry unto the Lord. Probably lots of ministries that we are involved with are in this area of ministry unto the house of God or ministry unto the people of God. That probably occupied most of our so-called spiritual ministry. And we know very little. And we are involved very little in this matter of ministry unto the Lord. Probably we even do not know what ministry unto the Lord is. And yet, brothers and sisters, we know that ministry unto the Lord is the foundation of all ministries. Unless we minister unto the Lord, we cannot minister unto the Lord's people. Unless we know how to minister unto the Lord, our ministry unto the house of God will be superficial, will be shallow, will be temporary. There will not be that eternal and spiritual value in it. And I think this is a great need among God's people today. So this morning we would like to focus our attention on this matter of ministry unto the Lord. We know that when God called the children of Israel out of Egypt, God's purpose for this redeemed people is for them to become a nation of priests. And as priests, their primary occupation is to minister unto the Lord. That is what God really was after in His people. But unfortunately, as we mentioned last night, because the children of Israel sinned and they forfeited this honor, this privilege of ministering unto the Lord. So eventually you find this whole people was disqualified. And God chose one tribe among the 12. the Levites. And of that tribe of Levites, God chose one family, the family of Aaron. And the family of Aaron were to be priests. And the tribe of Levites were to be Levites serving the house. So when you look into the Old Testament, you find the priests. They were to offer sacrifices unto the Lord. They were to light the lamps in the holy place. They were to place the showbread on the table. And they were to burn incense at the golden altar of incense. They were the people that drew near to God and ministered unto the Lord. And the Levites, they were to keep the doors of the tabernacle that strangers came in. They were to serve in the tabernacle, bringing the water, bringing the wood, and do all the things under the direction of the priests. Their job was to serve the house, the tabernacle. Their job was to serve the people of God. When any child of Israel came to offer a sacrifice, they will help them to slay the animal. And that is their work. And the rest of the children of Israel, in a sense, were completely barred from service, both to the house and to the Lord. And we know that it was a great failure. But brothers and sisters, in the New Testament, you find that God does not want us to go back to the system that is almost, we can say, an emergency measure of God, not God's original design. In the New Testament, through the redemption of our Lord Jesus, He is bringing us back to God's original purpose. And that's the reason why you find after we are saved, He has made us a kingdom of priests. We are all to serve as priests before God. Our purpose on this earth is one. We are to minister unto the Lord. But brothers and sisters, probably we need to ask ourselves this question. Do we really live our life on earth ministering unto the Lord? How do we minister unto the Lord? You know, one day when I was reading the book of Acts, I came to Acts chapter 13. And there you'll find in a church in Antioch, there were five prophets and teachers. Barnabas. We know Barnabas. If you go back to Acts chapter 4, you'll find Barnabas, his former name was Joseph. He was a Levite. But he loved the Lord. He laid everything at the foot of the Lord. And apostles gave him a name. Called him Barnabas, son of consolation. And Barnabas was a man full of the Holy Spirit. He was sent to Antioch to see what the Lord was doing there. And when he saw what the Lord did, his heart was so warm He stayed with them, exhorted them, encouraged them. That was Barnabas. And then you find of the five there was Simeon, who was called the nigger. In other words, he must be a brother that came from Africa. And there was Lucius, the Cyrenian. And there was Manion, the foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch. In other words, he came from a noble family. And lastly, you find there was Saul, that great Pharisee who met the Lord on the road to Damascus. So you'll find the Lord put these five brothers together. And they were prophets and teachers. You know, what are the functions of prophets and teachers? The functions of prophets and teachers are to speak to the people of God. In other words, as prophets and teachers, they minister to the people of God. They minister the word of God to God's people. That's their ministry. But here you'll find these five prophets and teachers. They were there ministering unto the Lord. They should be ministering unto the people. But here you'll find they were ministering unto the Lord. They were not actively engaged in speaking, in prophesying, in teaching. Instead, they were there ministering unto the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, this ministering unto the Lord arrested my heart. I began to ask the Lord, what does it mean? Why is it these five who were supposed to be busily engaged in teaching the people, in presenting the will, the mind of God to the people, to build them up? That's their work to do. And instead of doing that work, they seem to be inactive. They are not doing their job. They were there setting apart themselves, ministering unto the Lord. What were they doing there? It dawned upon me that these brothers, they knew that unless they first minister unto the Lord, they could not minister unto the people of God. But brothers and sisters, how unfortunate that we often think we can minister to the people of God. If God gave us gifts to prophesy, if God gave us gifts to teach, surely we can do the job. But we fail to realize that even though God may call you, may gift you, and yet if you do not know the first principle of spiritual ministry, your ministry unto the house of God will be ineffective. We need to minister unto the Lord first. And only afterwards we are able to minister unto the house of God. I wonder what they did when they ministered unto the Lord. And then I was directed to Ezekiel chapter 44. Because in Ezekiel chapter 44, you find it is a chapter that tells us how to minister unto the Lord. What is the ministry unto the Lord? We know that in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel was a prophet in exile. The children of Israel, because they rebelled against God, therefore they were taken into Babylonian captivity. And Ezekiel was among the captives. But God called him to be a prophet. And when you come to the last 9 chapters of the book of Ezekiel, from chapter 40 to 48, we know that God gave the prophet Ezekiel a vision. A vision of the final restoration of all things. God is to restore all things. He will restore the temple. You know, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed completely. But one day He will restore that temple. Not the temple that the remnant, after 70 years of captivity, returned and built, but the final temple. Not the physical one, but the spiritual one. And God gave Ezekiel a vision of that temple. And also God desired to restore the priesthood, the service in the temple. And God will restore the kingship. God will restore the kingdom, the city. So here you'll find in these 9 chapters of the book of Ezekiel is a prophecy of the final restoration. Everything will be restored to God's original purpose. That's the vision given to the prophet Ezekiel. And in this vision, there is a part that speaks of the restoration of spiritual ministry. And that is in chapter 44. But before that spiritual ministry is restored, you find, first of all, there is God's judgment on spiritual ministry. You know, when the children of Israel forsook God and they began to worship idols, unfortunately, you'll find the Levites, they were also led astray. And they even helped the people to worship idols. Not only the Levites, but even among the priests, you find they also began to serve at the altars of the idols. This whole matter was such an abomination in the sight of God. So even when God is to restore spiritual ministry, you find His judgment is still there. So He said, because the Levites, when the children of Israel went astray, they helped the children of Israel in this rebelling against God. Therefore, the iniquity is upon them. God said He will forgive them. But because of this, they will not be able to enter into the sanctuary and to minister unto the Lord Himself. God still allowed them to keep the doors of the future temple. God still allowed them to serve in the temple. God still allowed them to minister to the people. But they were not allowed to minister unto the Lord himself. Only the priest, the Levite, the son of Zadok. Now here you find that the reason why the priests, the Levites are mentioned, it shows that not only the Levites will not be able to be restored to God's original design of minister unto the Lord, even the priests were not restored. Among the priests, only the sons of Zadok. They were the only one that God called them to minister unto himself. Why? Because during the declension, when the children of Israel fell away from the Lord, and when the Levites, and probably most of the priests, fell away, the sons of Zadok, they were faithful to the Lord. They kept the charge of God. And because of their faithfulness, God said, in the restoration, they are the one permitted to draw near to me, to minister unto me. So, brothers and sisters, here you find a spiritual principle. All who are forgiven can minister to the house. But only those who are faithful may minister unto the Lord. You know, dear brothers and sisters, to minister unto the Lord is not a small thing. The glory of the Lord, as we find the vision of Ezekiel, the glory of the Lord enter into the house, the tabernacle, the temple. The Lord was there. And for people to draw near to him, to minister unto him, it was an awesome thing. God is holy. God is righteous. God is full of glory. And to be able to come near to him and really minister unto him as if minister to his needs, to satisfy his heart. Brothers and sisters, that is a tremendous honor. It is not something that can be thrown to anybody. Do not think that ministering unto the Lord is a small thing. It is a tremendous honor. We, as those who are forgiven, we all can minister to the house of God. But brothers and sisters, only the faithful can minister unto the Lord. In a sense, the church is still in captivity. The church is in captivity to the world. Not only to the world as it is, but also to the religious world. As you read church history, you find even though from generation to generation, you find there will be some, by the grace and mercy of God, were brought back, as it were, to Jerusalem to be at peace with God. And there they were able to be built up as it were, a kind of token, emblem of the house of God that he, God, is after. But as you look at Christianity as a whole, even to our day, I think we have to acknowledge that the church is still in captivity. Who are those? When the people of God fall away, that will be faithful to the Lord and keep the charge of God. In other words, when you find there is declension everywhere, who are those people that will be faithful to the original purpose of God, faithful to the testimony of the Lord Jesus? And to those who are faithful, will be given this privilege of ministry unto the Lord himself. You remember in the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, he mentioned time and again, especially in 2 Timothy, on this matter of faithful and trust to the faithful. Not to everybody, because people are falling away from God and from his purpose. Therefore, there are some who are still faithful. Now trust, and trust to them the testimony of Jesus. Now, who are the faithful ones? The church has become a great house. In 1 Timothy, you'll find the church is the church of the living God, the pillar and base of truth. And yet, when you come to 2 Timothy, you find the church has become a big house, a great house. And in that great house, you find there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Vessels of gold and silver and vessels of wood and earth. And the scripture says, now if you have purified yourself, separating yourself from these, that is from the vessels to dishonor, then you will become separated, acceptable, and ready for the Master's use. In other words, brothers and sisters, God is looking today for those who are faithful to his testimony, faithful to his purpose. And those who are faithful, they have to purify themselves from that which is unfaithful. And only to those who are faithful, there is that privilege of ministry unto the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, before we talk about this matter of ministry unto the Lord, we really need to humble ourselves before him. Thank God he has forgiven us. But, brothers and sisters, have we been faithful to him in this time of declension? And if we are faithful, then the Lord said, you may minister unto me. I wonder, whether that is the reason why. We see lots of ministry unto the house, but very little, if any, of ministry unto the Lord. Now, what is ministry unto the Lord? In the letter in the book of Ezekiel, you find in verse 15, "But the priests, the Levites, the son of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall approach unto me." To minister unto the Lord, the first thing is to approach, to draw near to the Lord. Now, you cannot minister unto the Lord if you are 1,000 miles away from Him. You have to draw near to Him to serve Him. But you know, Ezekiel 44, this approaching Him is different from Hebrews chapter 11, approaching Him. You know, in Hebrews 11, we find that through the blood of our Lord Jesus, because of the new and living way that He has opened for us, through the flesh, His body, broken for us, the veil rent, and because He is our great high priest, interceding for us unceasingly, and on the basis of these three things, we may approach the Holy of Holies with boldness. We may come to God with confidence. But we come, we approach Him for what reason? We approach Him to receive grace to live. That's why we approach Him. You know, if we do not approach Him, we cannot live even a minute. Today, we are still living. Today, by the grace of God, we are still being kept. It is all because of the blood of the Lamb. It is all because of the broken body of our Lord Jesus. It is all because of His high priesthood. It is all because of what He has done for us that we are able to receive grace even to live on this earth, to receive mercy. Thank God for this approach. But if you read Ezekiel 44, you find when God says, "You shall approach unto me," it is not in the sense that you may receive grace for your needs, but you may minister unto me. Now that is a great difference. We all know and thank God, we all experience that approach unto the Lord to receive grace and mercy for seasonable help. But do we know this approach? This drawing near to Him, not to receive grace to meet our needs, but to minister to Him, as it were, to meet His need. Only those who live near to Him can serve Him. Even on earth, when a king or a queen is to be served, those people that are chosen to be near him or near her, to serve him daily, is a privilege, is an honor. It is not everybody that can do that. Only those chosen few are privileged to be companions, as it were, with the King and be near him all the time, to minister to him at all times. Now, how much more it is for us to minister unto him, to be, as it were, his daily companion. Approach him at all times and learn to minister to his needs. Dear brothers and sisters, it requires a life to live very close to him. If we look into our lives, brothers and sisters, how close we are to the Lord. Is it that we find ourselves oftentimes quite distant? The world seems to come upon us and draw us away from the Lord into the world. Maybe in the early morning when you have a time with the Lord, you sense that intimacy with him. But when you step into the world, it seems as if that closeness, nearness, is vanished. Can we live a life on this earth, even though we may be busily engaged with external things, and yet there within our heart, there is a closeness, there is an intimacy, there is a fellowship with the Lord that is unhindered? We need to live continuously in his presence, in spite of the fact that outwardly we live among the people, even the people of this world, and yet we never leave his presence. Now, this is ministering unto the Lord. You know what he desires is our being with him, more than what we do for him. I wonder if this is the reason why we find it so easy, or comparatively easier, to minister to God's people, to the house of God, than to minister unto the Lord. Approaching him, drawing near to him, live constantly in his presence. That is something that satisfies his heart. Secondly, they shall stand before me. Now, brothers and sisters, again, they stand before him is different from the judicial standing before him that we all have. In other words, formally, we could not stand before him because we were sinners. And if we want to stand before him, we will be smitten to death. And thank God, through the redemption of our Lord Jesus, we have a standing before God. We can stand before God. Why? Because we are clothed with Christ. And when God looks upon us, he does not see us, he sees Christ. And that's the reason why we are accepted by God in the Beloved. Thank God for his standing that we all have. But the standing here is a deeper thing. It is not just a matter that we may be standing there and not be smitten. It is to stand before the Lord in order that we may minister unto him. You know, when you read the Old Testament, there is one phrase that will catch your heart. And that is what Elijah said. Elijah said, I am the one who stand before God. You know, he was a person who stood before God. Before he stood before Ahab, he stood before God. And even when he stood before Ahab, he was still a person who stood before God. In other words, it is not just an occasional thing, but it becomes almost like a status. That is what he is. He is a man who stood before God. Do you know what his standing before God is? Do you know that standing from the eyes of the flesh is inactive, is passive? You know, our flesh cannot stand standing. We are on the move all the time. Not only that is what our flesh is, but we think that only as we are running hither and thither, doing this thing and that thing, and we are actively involved, then it is worthwhile. If we are doing nothing, not even walking, but standing, that's a waste of time. The flesh cannot stand standing. Try it. Try to stand before the Lord. Of course, the stand here doesn't mean physically standing. It means an attitude. You know, to minister unto the Lord, you need to develop an attitude. You need to become a person that is always standing before the Lord. Brothers, sisters, when you read the Word of God, you find that standing before the Lord is such You know, even in the vision that Zechariah saw a lampstand and two olive trees by the side of the lampstand, an explanation was, these are the two sons of oil who stand before the Lord. In Psalm 123, Unto thee do I lift up my eyes. O Lord, that sitteth in the heavens. As the servants, eyes of the servants, look upon the hands of the masters. As the eyes of the maids, look upon the hands of the mistresses. So our eyes are directed unto thee. Until thou be gracious unto us. That is standing. You know, this psalm is written with a background. In the Orient, in the East, you find that when a master is to entertain his guests, his servants will be standing around the room. And they were all standing there with their eyes upon the master. You know, it is considered as not a good thing for the master to open his mouth and tell his servants what to do. So the custom was, the servants will be standing there, alert, waiting. They are not standing there dreaming or sleeping. They are standing there watchful, their eyes upon the hands of the master. The master will not say a word. When anything needs to be done, he just uses his hand, make a gesture, and the servants know exactly what to do and will go ahead and do it. Now that is standing before the Lord. Brothers and sisters, are we running around? Are we so impatient? We cannot wait upon the Lord. In so-called ministry today, you find it is just people running around, doing things according to what they think are good, or according to what they think is the will of God. As a matter of fact, you find lots of so-called Christian activities today do not originate from the Master. It is working for God, not working with God. Unless we know how to stand before Him, unless we know how to wait upon Him, until we receive order, there is no movement. People will say, well, you're lazy. You are idling. You will be criticized. You will be misunderstood. But dear brothers and sisters, only those who know God, they will rather stand before Him and do nothing, rather than going to do anything before the order is given. Are you sure that what you are doing is the will of God? Are you certain that God has commanded you to run? You know, the sin of presumptuousness is the same as the sin of disobedience. If God gives you order and you do not do it, is the sin of disobedience. But if the Lord has not given you order and you go ahead, is the sin of presumptuousness. No wonder the psalmist prayed, deliver me from presumptuousness. Dear brothers and sisters, today God's people know very little of the sins of presumptuousness. Probably we know to disobey God, that is sin. We realize that. But do we realize that without His order, and we do it, is also sin? If we can be kept from the sin, presumptuous sin, then we will be perfect. That's what the psalmist said. To wait upon Him, to stand before Him, is to pray. Your praying. Praying to know His will. Praying for His kingdom to come. Praying for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, I say it is not easy for the flesh. We cannot do it. It's only by the mercies of God that we are able to stand before Him, that we may minister unto Him. You know, this very attitude of standing is a ministry unto the Thirdly, they shall stand before me to present unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord Jehovah. They stand before the Lord in order that they may be able to present unto the Lord the fat and the blood. Now, to understand this, you have to go back to Leviticus. You know, the book of Leviticus is the handbook of the priests. And if you go back to Leviticus chapter 3, you will find there in Leviticus chapter 3 that when the children of Israel offer peace offering before God, the blood will be offered, and all the fat of the sacrifice, and it's described in detail. You know, the net, the kidney, and all these fats. You know, all the fat of the animals are to be burned on the altar as an offering of sweet savor. And then in the same chapter, chapter 3, you'll find that the fat is the food of the offering. It is for God to consume. No children of Israel can eat the fat or drink the blood. No fat, no blood for the children of Israel. Why? Because the blood and the fat are devoted to the Lord. And here you find what those who minister unto the Lord does. They are privileged to present unto the Lord the fat and the blood. Now, what is the fat? What does it signify? Now, today we do not like fat. But in the scripture, you'll find fat is a beautiful thing. You know where does fat come from? You need fuel for your life. So, when you eat, you know, and you put fuel in you, and you're able to live. But if you have extra, abundant, then you'll find it is preserved there as fat in your body. So as a matter of fact, fat signifies the abundance, the excellence, the vitality, the energy of life. That's what fat is. And the fat of the sacrifice is to be consumed by the Lord Himself as His food. Now, of course, primarily the sacrifice speaks of Christ. When you think of our Lord Jesus, when you think of His life, you find such beauty in His life. You find such energy in His life. You find some abundant life in Him. And you find His whole life is offered on the altar as food to God. So no wonder God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight." In union with Christ, with His life in us, when we are able to experience life abundant, brothers and sisters, that vitality, that power, that beauty, that strength, that abundance is not for ourselves to consume, nor to be consumed by anybody else. It is to be completely offered to God, to be His food. Remember, it is not your fat or my fat. It is not our natural energy, natural life, natural strength. Oh, how we have abundance of natural strength. How we have abundance of natural mind. How we have abundance of natural this and natural that. And we want to offer all these on the altar. No, these are abominable to God. He does not want them. Romans chapter 12. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Fine. Okay. I present my body a living sacrifice. But remember, that body is not the body of death, nor the body of sin. It is a body redeemed by the Lord. If you want to offer your original body, that is, your natural body, and all the natural strength in that body, that's your natural fat. And it is no good. It is only that which is of Him that is constituted in us. And because there is abundance, you know, brothers and sisters, most of us, in a sense, we are able to, as it were, draw from the Lord just barely enough to live on. There's no abundance. And without that abundance, how can we minister unto the Lord? But those who are in union with Him, those who know His life abundant, those who have that spiritual reserve, here you find your privilege to present spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's the offering of the fat. And of course, there is the presenting of the blood. The blood. Not only in the sense that when we believe in the Lord Jesus, His blood has atoned our sins. Thank God for that. But dear brothers and sisters, the more you live closer to the Lord, the more you find the preciousness of the blood. Without the blood, you cannot live a moment. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all our sins. We need to present the blood to God continuously. Brother Watchman, he says, the blood is to satisfy God's holiness and righteousness. And the fat is to satisfy God's glory. Are we presenting the blood before the Lord to satisfy God's holiness and righteousness all the time? When He sees the blood, His holiness and righteousness are satisfied. Are we presenting the fat continuously to Him? And when He sees His beloved Son, His glory is satisfied. You know, this is our daily life. Our daily life is a continuous presenting of the fat and of the blood of the Lord Jesus that we have experienced, that we have appreciated and known. Number 4. They shall approach unto my table. Now, if the table speaks of the table of showbread, then we know that it is in the holy place. Only the priest can enter into the holy place and put the showbread on that table. Now, the showbread literally means the bread of the presence. The bread of the presence. In other words, this showbread is a type of our Lord Jesus. He is the bread of the presence. And He is ever present before the Father. And that is the Father's joy and delight. And this bread, after a week, it is to be taken away to change for the new bread, and the bread is to be the food of the priests. So in other words, you find those who minister unto the Lord, you find that they present Christ to God to be His satisfaction. And at the same time, they are in communion with Christ and is satisfied, filled with Him. So it speaks of communion. We communion with the Lord. And in communing, we are putting the showbread on the table. Naturally speaking, when a father sees a son, no joy can be compared to that. Especially if the son is very loyal, very obedient. And how much more our Heavenly Father is pleased when we present Christ to Him as a showbread. He sees Christ continuously in us. And we are in constant communion with the Lord. That is ministry unto the Lord. And finally, Or, may I put in another word, and some people said maybe the table does not speak of the table of showbread. Because if you read Ezekiel chapter 41, it seems that the table is the table of altar of incense. Now, if it speaks of the altar of incense, it means worship and praise. That's our privilege. Anyway, finally you find that they shall keep my charge. A charge is a command, a burden, or an office. That's the way it is used in the scripture. For time's sake, I shorten it. A charge. When the Lord said, they shall keep my charge. To put it in a simpler way, it means that they shall keep my testimony. He will commit himself to them. And they will keep his testimony faithfully in this world. Brothers and sisters, this is ministry unto the Lord. You know, ministry unto the Lord, it is something so different from our natural concept. Our natural concept is work, activities. That is ministry. But when you think of ministry unto the Lord, you find that it is life. It is your standing before Him. It is your waiting upon Him. It is your keeping His charge, faithful to His testimony. When the world is falling apart, there are people who are faithful to Him. That satisfies His heart. That is ministry unto the Lord. We do not have the time to go over the conditions. There should be no wool upon, but only linen. No sweating. Oh, how we sweat today in the Lord's work. But there is no sweating. No perspiring out of the natural flesh. And you find the reward is, the Lord said, I am their inheritance. I am their possession. They shall not have any other possession, but I am their possession. Now, brothers and sisters, is that much better than anything else? So may the Lord help us really to enter into this realm of ministry unto the Lord. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do acknowledge that we know very little of this ministry unto Thee. Lord, we ask Thy forgiveness. We pray for light, for understanding, for revelation, to deliver us out of what we call ministry and really get us down to that one ministry that is so fundamental, that is the only one that really satisfies.